you got the hookup there for us to interview, and I'll let you share with us who it's going to be. But a big interview for us. We're excited about having him with us. That's one reason we're on a little bit early today, at 3:42 to be exact. Normally at 4 o'clock, but our guest caller is calling at 4 o'clock, so we had to be on a little early.
Had to be there and be ready. Jay Jacobs, Auburn athletic director since 2004, a guy that has rode the Auburn roller coaster, you might say.
Hey, he's been on it on the highs and he's been on it on the lows, hasn't he?
Right. I guess he has been as close to losing his job, and now, as we talked about, probably one of the more popular athletic directors in the nation.
I think you're right. You know, and you know a lot more about the history there than I do, but certainly Jay Jacobs has turned it around like the football program has, and he's riding high, and the main reason he's riding high is because the football team's riding high.
That's it. He rolled the dice on Gene Chizik, got a national championship out of Chizik.
But he was able to get one player in that got him a national championship, wasn't he?
And we were talking about it at the office, running. The Chizik hire, a lot of people critical of Jay Jacobs and that hire. But
understatement, isn't it?
Look at what the Chizik hire has brought Auburn.
Yeah.
Gus Malzahn brought in under Gene Chizik.
That's right.
Cam Newton brought in under Gene Chizik. And a national championship under Gene Chizik. And so it's kind of got the ball rolling, even though Chizik couldn't complete the task, maybe, and do it more than 1 year. But the ball did get rolling under
Chizik. Yeah, it seemed like it kind of got away from him there or something. You know, as you say, they were rolling in 2010, won the national championship, and then the wheels came off. And I think the wheels came off because, for whatever reason, Malzahn leaves. Which you can't blame any assistant for leaving to take a head coaching, for taking a good head coaching job. But I think that was, the beginning of the downfall for Gene Chizik when Malzahn left.
Oh, yeah.
However it turned out.
Yeah, no question. Like you said, I don't know really what went on there. If, from the rumor mill, they said that, Malzahn was basically handcuffed on what he could and couldn't do by Chizik, and he had had enough of it, and he took a $300,000 a year pay cut to become head coach at Arkansas State.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that $300,000 cut that he took for 1 year has magnified itself many times over.
Right now, the 11th highest paid coach in Division I football. So, as you said, it's worked out well.
Yeah, we kind of went over some of those a little bit, you know, this past Tuesday. I guess it was Tuesday. It could have been Thursday. I don't remember. About the coaching salaries and, you know, what those guys are making. It's enormous, you know, the salaries that they're making.
Oh, yeah. And nobody even compares, though, to the head ball coach at the University of Alabama.
No, he's kind of lack of a better word, he's head and shoulders.
Oh, yeah, $2.3 million more than the second highest.
Yeah,
which is,
what is he,
7.3.
Okay, 7.3 million.
Second, Kevin Sumlin at 5 million.
Now he had a great couple of years at Texas A&M, but, you know, and everybody's going to have bad years. I got that. But I wonder how long Texas A&M is going to let him continue to rake in $5 million a year and not produce on the field.
You can get a lot of coaches to go 7-4, 6-5.
That's right. That's right.
And get them a lot cheaper than $5 million.
That's right. Yes, they can. But I guess that's on down the road. That's yet to be seen as far as Texas A&M. But they are pretty bad.
Oh, yeah.
And
I thought South Carolina was pretty bad until Saturday night. And I'm not sure. We'll talk about it a lot more.
Yeah, sure.
In depth later, but I'm not sure if Auburn,
I don't know,
defensively that bad. South Carolina maybe played a little above their head or something.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like kind of like in a backyard, you know. If you get it, if you got it, you score with it.
But I do think me and you could get open in the Auburn secondary if the Auburn players were accidentally in position to make a play. They didn't make it.
we just couldn't get open many times. Because we wouldn't be able to run down there, but at least once.
We could do that old 2 yard out pattern.
That's right. That's exactly right. But, Alabama was kind of the same, you know, scenario. They started off and put 20 up in a hurry, and I thought, good grief, it's going to be just like Texas A&M, and they look extremely impressive on both sides of the ball early. You know, the first quarter and maybe the first few minutes of the second quarter, and you know, until
do you think
later
part of that was putting it in cruise and maybe coasting on?
I think the players, I think they probably did. But on the flip side, you know, you got to give Tennessee some credit. And again, we're going to talk about it in depth. You know, they put a kid in there, a freshman quarterback who has played very little, if any, and he exposes them again. You know, as far as they put 20 points up, but they had a lot of yards. He threw the ball well, and you know, same song, different verse. A lot of people open, you know, in the secondary. So we'll see. Of course, Bama's off this week, and they need to be off.
And tonight, Ronnie, is a night a lot of people looking at with great importance. It's been on the radio all day.
Yeah.
Something I'm going to watch, but not going to pay a lot of attention
exactly.
to it, because basically it means nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
If you're in the top 10, 12, you're still in the ball game.
Yeah.
You're still in the hunt. You went out, you're going to be in the Final Four.
I mean, that's just what it comes down to. I mean, you got to win.
Yeah.
You know, same.
Win, baby, win.
Win, baby, win. And if you lose, and if you've lost one already and you lose another one, you know, your chances are very, very, very slim of getting in. And, of course, we all know that tonight, I think it's 7:30 Eastern or 6:30 our time, Central Time Zone, is when the playoff committee will release their first poll, which is what Jason was referring to there.
And who do you think will be in it, Ronnie? I know who you want to be in it. Who do you think? What's your thoughts? What four teams do you see being in the committees?
The top four teams. I don't know how any. I don't know how you could go against. Or it's impossible to me that you go against Mississippi State and Florida State.
Yeah,
they've got to be 1-2, whatever order you want to put them. You know. After that, gosh, you know, I mean, there's a lot of one-loss teams out there. You know, Alabama and Auburn. I know Alabama's ranked 3 and Auburn's sitting at 4. But I honestly, Jason, I would not be surprised if they don't slide an Oregon or somebody.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if they don't slide.
I would too.
Somebody in.
I don't think they'll leave it as the AP poll is. If they're going to leave it just like the AP poll, why do we have their poll?
Right. And I wouldn't be shocked even to see Alabama and Auburn both maybe at 5, 6, 7, somewhere in that. Because,
let's be honest,
the rest of the nation's tired of SEC.
Yeah.
They're tired of Alabama. And Auburn, by association, they're probably tired of Auburn.
I mean, yep. And I know we'll talk more about it later as far as, you know, what the criteria is supposed to be. But, you know, that's as broad as the – you know, as broad can get when they have, you know, I think like 5 different sets of criteria they're supposed to, you know, follow. You know, case in point, strength of schedule, injuries, and then, you know, some more things. So it's going to be interesting, I guess you could say interesting. And as Jason said, it doesn't make any difference how they rank them to start with, but it's certainly got to be Mississippi State and Florida State. And I wouldn't be surprised, Jason, this is hard to say, I would not be surprised if it doesn't come down then to Auburn 3, Oregon 4, Bama 5. That would not surprise me.
That wouldn't shock me, but I don't know. I've got mixed feelings about Auburn and Alabama both. Auburn, I think Alabama right now, as bad as I hate to say it, probably Alabama deserves to be in the top 4 more than Auburn. Auburn has really disappointed me, their defensive play the past couple of games.
Yep.
Hey, we've got a caller on the line,
man.
Sandy from Dodge City, wants to take a shot at
Moolah. She is on it early today, isn't she?
Yeah, without a clue.
I don't even know where it is. I don't remember. So whatever she says, it may be correct.
Yeah. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jason. Hey, y'all. How are y'all?
I'm good. How about
Great,
you?
Great, Sandy.
I'm good.
So you think you got Moolah hemmed up somewhere?
I hope so.
What do you think?
Is it the state capital?
You got it.
Bingo.
The state capital.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was country, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That's it.
Hey, that was
quick. Didn't give, but I think 2 clues.
2 clues.
She nailed it.
2 clues.
Now she can go buy her Halloween candy.
Yeah. Hey, I know you give us your address before, but again, let's go through the same process. Let you give it to Jay, and we'll get the money to you. You can come by the shop and pick it up, whatever you want to do. So.
All righty.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, Sandy.
Hey, that That's
a way to start it.
Winner, right?
That's
there.
Right. Moolah is now gone. So
wow. I never expected anybody to get that.
I didn't expect it that early. You know, I really didn't. But hey, congratulations to Sandy for picking up $50. I guess we will we'll come up with another.
Yeah, we'll come up with another and start again.
Another place that we're going to start today, or we're going to start.
Start it today.
All right, start it today.
People bank pays.
I was going to say it's easy to play with somebody else's money, isn't it? Oh,
Ronnie. Another thing we'll talk about later. What about the Florida State fiasco?
Yeah, you
does
go,
it seem to die down?
You want to put the gloves on and go a couple of rounds? That seems to be
wow.
They don't even put the gloves on.
As I told you earlier, and I heard someone else say this.
Yeah.
I think it was a writer said. Now at Florida State, we have a accused rapist handing the ball off to a wife beater.
Not a wife.
Well, a girlfriend beater.
I know what violence. You mean there, but yeah, I mean it never seems to end. Well, at least hey, give him credit. It's not Jameis.
That's right. Jameis stayed out of trouble this time.
He's, you know, hadn't heard a peep out of him.
And
so
Jimbo's still saying it. Jimbo's team with integrity.
That's
on
right.
And off the
tremendous.
Field.
Talking about this, you know, the kid that had the latest incident was a tremendous kid and a tremendous ambassador for Florida State University.
That university, Jeff Sullins. If you're out there after Jeff
Cody Pearson, yeah, that's number one and two, and however you want to put them.
I wish you would give us a call and. Let's talk
after
Florida
Jay.
State. Yeah, after Jay Jacobs at 4:00, let's talk Florida State football. It's reminding me a lot of the longest yard.
Oh, that was with Burt Reynolds and Eddie Arnold.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was old Warden, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And Jimbo is, in my book, guilty by association.
Association. Jimbo is...
As you said, Ronnie, he's on the ship. He's riding
yeah.
it.
Hell, he's riding it to the end now.
He is so far out in the ocean on that
yep.
boat now, there's no turning back.
Yeah.
So.
And, this, you know, this kid here is, you know, he's... I think he's... He has a child. He and his girlfriend have a child, and they're expecting another child. So...
And she has dropped charges.
She
now.
Has dropped,
and
yeah.
So, some of the FSU... faithful will say, well, he was never charged.
Yeah,
and, you know,
sure.
O.J. Simpson was found innocent, not guilty. I don't know what he was found, but he was never convicted.
Right.
But that
right.
don't make him innocent.
No, so. No. It, just because you're not convicted or just because charges dropped doesn't mean you weren't guilty. So, but, I, you know, that story, that'll die out too unless, you know, she just something else happens and she decides to press charges again, you know.
And, you know, I know winning national championships are important. But at some point, if you're Jimbo Fisher, you've got to look at your kids eyeball to eyeball.
Yeah.
And you've got to look at yourself in the mirror and say, what have I done here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
How far do I, yeah. How far do I ride this?
He has sold his soul to Jameis.
Yeah. It's been a difficult time in Florida State. And, you know, sometimes the wins don't outweigh the headaches. And I think that's what Jimbo's,
yeah,
there's no question, that's what Jimbo's living right now. Yeah, he's living with a lot. I mean, they haven't been beaten a year and a half now and won a national championship last year. But, man, he's had to deal with a lot more off-field, you know, issues that we know about, you know, than any other, you know, university. You know, many of them, a lot of them have problems.
Any team in the nation that more people are pulling against?
No.
There's no doubt about it.
Oh, there's no question.
Alabama is hated as bad as Notre Dame is hated.
Yeah,
I think you put those two together and you still don't equal Florida State.
No,
right
it's not even close now. I mean, you know, it's you know, unless you're a diehard Florida State fan, you just assume not win another game.
And some of my family members, my brother and some of his family,
yeah.
had lived in the Florida area
uh-huh,
for 20
uh-huh.
years. Their second team had been Florida State.
Yeah,
I told them, and I hate to say I told them, but I told them and told them. The inmates were running
the asylum.
And now even my brother Allen says that if they played today, Alabama and Florida State, that he
yeah.
would be hollering Roll Tides.
Yeah.
And that says a lot.
That says a lot, you know, for him, I'm sure.
And I've got a good story later on I'll share about Auburn Saturday. I told you some of it.
Yeah,
but it does get better. What a
there's more to the story, huh? Oh, man.
The people that or friends with me on Facebook probably saw the kid that's in the picture. If he's kin to you, I'm sorry, but the most annoying kid I've ever seen. As I stated on there, a great kid to use on birth control commercials. So,
so it got on your last nerve.
One more game, Ronnie, and I would have been pro-choice.
One more.
Maybe one more quarter.
If
I was slapped in the face with a shaker one time, I was slapped in the face 10 times with a blue and orange shaker.
A blue and orange. Well, you know, it could have been worse. It could have been maroon.
Oh, yeah. There ain't no, yeah, I mean, you know, that'd have been a five. Being a 10-year-old kid would have been locked up.
Kathy been down there to Auburn City Jail bailing you out.
Yeah, it got so bad I was trying to catch his shaker when he would shake it back in the face. Yeah. I was reaching and trying to grab. Of course, I'm so old and slow, I couldn't get it.
Your mind tells you to, but physically you're just not man enough, are you? Oh, my goodness.
It was a good time, even though things went south in a hurry after the game.
Hey, but it ended up, it was a W anyway, you know.
That's right.
42-35, and you take a W anyway, you can get them, even when you don't play well. Hey, I'd rather play bad and lose than to play well and get beat.
Oh, any day of the week.
And,
any day of the week.
We all, if we've been around athletics, I can assure you we know that for a fact.
Yeah, the playing good and losing looks just the same as playing bad.
That's right. So. That is exactly right. So
we're not into moral victories.
No. You know, some universities are because, you know, it depends on where their program is. But certainly Auburn is not into moral victories. They're still in the hunt for, you know, an opportunity to get to the Final Four, into that playoff. Of course, there's a lot of work yet to be done. There's a lot of work yet to be done for any of them to get there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of – okay, the man is on right now. So, Jay, if you will put him on. We want to welcome.
That means you can keep complimenting him because he's hearing everything you say before you actually bring him on.
Hey, great. We want to welcome to the show Auburn Athletic Director Jay Jacobs. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. How you guys doing today?
Hey, we're great. I'm Jason Spiegel, my partner in crime, Ronnie Barnes. And, Jay, I'm going to tell you up front, don't hold it against him because he is an Alabama fan. I bleed blue and orange, but he is an Alabama fan.
Hey, bless Ronnie's heart.
Yeah, that's right.
And welcome to the listeners of the city of Coleman. We got quite a few Auburn fans up here. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, Jay. Hey, this is Ronnie. I know you're extremely busy. As Jason said, but we just thank you so much for taking, you know, just a few minutes to talk to us.
Hey, it's my pleasure, Ronnie. It certainly is. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, we are excited about it. Hey, Jay, let me start you off here with a couple questions. First of all, we all know that tonight the committee, you know, they're going to release their first rankings as far as the playoffs. You know, what's your thoughts just in general, you know, about the playoff system? I know there may be some things you can tell us and some things you can't tell us. So if you could just expound on whatever you can about this new playoff system.
Hey, certainly, Ronnie. I'm happy to. You know, in 1983, when I walked off the field as a my senior year as starting offensive left tackle and we'd beaten Michigan, I thought we'd won the national championship because earlier in the day in the Cotton Bowl, Georgia had beaten Texas, which was the number one team and the only team to have beaten us. And we wake up the next day and find out that Nebraska had lost to Miami, and Miami had lost early in the year to Florida, and Miami jumped us and became number one. So from a player's perspective, I'm thankful for the four-team playoff. And then in 2004, being the senior associate AD here, and us being left out of the mix, the BCS mix,
right,
and running the tables, that's when this whole thing started. And then, you know, certainly to have a chance to win it in 2010, the national championship, and be so close in 2013 to win another one, it's been a great run. But you know, the key to it is that it all started after Auburn was left out in 2004. Our commissioner, Mike Slive, my first meeting as the athletics director in Birmingham with the other SEC ADs was in February 2005, and the commissioner's, one of his first statements were, is that we can never let another team in the SEC happen to them what happened to Auburn.
Right. Great.
And from right then, he started the one-plus conversation, and Here we are 10 years later, finally getting everybody finally caught up with his way of thinking from 10 years ago.
Yeah, wheels of progress turn slowly sometimes, don't they, Jay?
They certainly do, Ronnie. they do.
Are you satisfied, you know, that it's four teams, or would you like for it to, you know, be increased, you know, six teams or eight? I know somewhere you got to draw the line, but is four what you like, or would you like to see some more?
Four is the right number.
It's
the right number, guys. We need to work with this four. And, you know, certainly I'm not going to like it. I'm going to change my answer for number five.
Yeah.
but in all seriousness, if you go to six, then who's number seven?
Right.
Yeah.
And so four, the thing that we've been able to do in the Southeastern Conference is Saturday is a playoff every day. Every Saturday is a playoff in this league.
Great.
So we're getting that playoff. We here at Auburn, because of the Auburn family, we're one of the few schools in the nation that are completely sold out for every game. La Tech, San Jose State, Sanford, and everything in between.
Right.
And so it's like a playoff here every Saturday. And there's not a better place to watch college football than on our campus. And so I think four is the right number. We need to give this a chance. It's taken us a long time, 10 years to get here. And a lot of it has to do with Auburn being left out in 2004. But we're here now, and let's embrace it. And I have full confidence in that 12-person committee. And we'll see what happens. And, hey, and all that matters, it doesn't really matter what happens tonight. All that matters is where you're on December the 7th.
That's right.
That's exactly right. Hey, Jay, you know, sitting there right now, boy, don't you think that this committee is looking at all these, you know, you got two teams that hadn't lost a game, you got a passel that's lost one, and, you know, you're thinking, boy, you know, I would think some of them are thinking, well, some of these are going to have to drop some games. We don't want to end up with a bunch of one-loss teams. And, of course, the SEC West is going to take care of itself anyway. But wouldn't you think that would be their thoughts of looking at all these one-loss teams out there?
I think, Ronnie, that is definitely one of the things they're looking at. I'll tell you this. This committee will be more thorough than any committee that we've ever had, including the men's basketball committee, because it's historic. It's a historic day. It's a historic time for college football. And there's a lot of eyes watching what's going on. And these folks, these very credible people that are on this committee, they're going to be very thorough. And they're going to check their own personal biases at the door. And so, the one-loss teams will be looked at. But as you said, you know, we're in a playoff mode right here in the SEC West.
That's for sure. I mean, you got to play. Yeah,
it's going to come out one way or the other. And the great thing about it is, all of us control our own destiny.
That's right. You have nobody to blame but your own self when it's all said and done.
That's right. Well, I mean, you know, plus two. You know what we've done in this league. You know, winning seven of the last eight, you know, BCS championships, and unfortunately, you know, we came 13 seconds short last year.
Right.
But to have a miracle season like we did and end up winning, you know, our fourth SEC championship, more in the last 10 years in football than any other school, to get there was great. But it also shows the strength of this league. Everybody continues to get better because our fans are so passionate about what we do, and we continue to do the things that's necessary to create the best environments. And also, you know, high school football in the South is important. So we have great athletes that are playing right. The game.
Absolutely. Hey, Jay, do you think we will – may not see it this year, we may possibly, or what's your thoughts about the SEC being able to get two teams into the playoff?
I think that it could happen. I think that this, you know, as we move through this, you know, if we all end up at the end of the year with our rival games, let's just take, for example, Mississippi State playing Ole Miss and Auburn playing Alabama, and everybody runs the table to that point, which you know, that mathematically that can't happen because we'll have to play each other.
Right.
But if you end up at the end of the year with one of those rivalry games with only one loss coming out and the winner of that game going to the SEC championship, you could very well have a situation like we did when we had LSU play Alabama again.
Exactly.
So I think it's very possible. A lot to happen between now and then, Ronnie. But, you know, with this playoff and the strength of schedule, particularly in the SEC and the SEC West, I think anything can happen.
Right. You know, and Jay, and then I'll let Jason ask a question, but, you know, when you guys had your SEC media days, one of the committee members, I can't remember his name, you would know it, but I remember them saying, we're going to put the four best teams in the playoff. Well, if you put the four best teams in the playoff, at least right now, there's got to be at least two from the SEC.
If it were today, that'd be the case.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but the main thing is, and you know this, Ronnie, is that all that matters is December the 7th, and this, you know, this ranking's coming out, and we'll see how it goes. But the great thing is that we control our own destiny, and I don't believe that anybody has a tougher finish than we do with the games, the opponents that we have ranked on the road that we have to go play.
Absolutely.
And that's where the only losses have come from in this league in the West is on the road.
That's right. That's right.
So, and that's great for the home team.
Yeah.
You know, we hadn't lost a game here since 2012.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's great.
Play them all
there. Hey,
Jay, this is Jason. Shift gears a little bit. Oh, you mentioned Samford earlier, and Auburn, even the Alabama fans that I talked to, compliment Auburn on playing the teams like Samford, Jack State, some of the smaller schools. It gives them a huge payday to keep their program financed, to keep it going. What kind of effect will the playoff system have on scheduling teams like Samford and local teams like that?
The answer to that, Jason, is we really don't know. When, you know, my vision, since we went to 12 games, was to always play that 12th game to be a BCS opponent. Some of our institutions in this league already have that built in. Florida has Florida State, South Carolina has Clemson, Georgia has Georgia Tech. But we needed that 12th game to be a BCS opponent. And my strategy was to go out there and play the best. And you may have seen yesterday we were announced we're playing a Pac-12 school. We're playing Cal in 19 and 20. And this year we went to Kansas State. Well, I scheduled that game in 2008, and that was a very tough game. But from our strength of schedule standpoint, it is a beneficial game for us right now. The way they continue to play and win, our, you know, the vision and the strategy I had has worked out for the strength of schedule. Now, you know how it plays out going down the road. I don't really know. I think that with the strength of this league, that we'll continue to play Samfords and Jacksonville States and schools like that, because I don't think that you can get through a season playing 12 games that are all Big Five opponents.
Right.
I'm not sure that anybody can sustain that. Plus, you know, as soon as these other leagues start playing as tough of in conference schedule, strength of schedule as we are, then we'll consider adjusting. But until then, what's there to fix? We've played in eight of the last eight BCS championships. So what is there to fix? Now, that doesn't mean that we can sit complacently by, because complacency is not part of my vocabulary. I try to keep my foot on the pedal the entire time and have a vision for the horizon. But we're keeping our finger on that. And this year with this committee, we'll have a good idea of what these non-conference games mean to the strength of schedule. But when you look at us now, particularly in the SEC West, all of us have strong strength of schedules because of each other's schedule.
Right. Hey, I have to brag on you, Jay. You have assembled one of the best, if not the best, in my opinion, coaching staffs in the nation. Gus Malzahn comes in his first year, took an Auburn team that wasn't even on anybody's radar screen, took them to the national title game, and like you said, come within 13 seconds of winning it. What sold you on Gus Malzahn, a not unknown name, but somebody that really lacked experience as head coach? What sold you on Gus Malzahn as being the right man for the Auburn job?
Jason, his plan, when he walked in and sat down with us for the interview, he had a plan. He had a plan from the beginning from the first day he hit campus. Him having been here, he knew the climate of the SEC. He knew what it takes to win and to compete at the highest level. So he had a plan. The other thing is that he has incredible passion for winning. And as importantly as anything, his work ethic. And he's one of the hardest workers I've ever been around. And he is one of the smartest football coaches I've ever been around. And probably the one big advantage that Gus had was that I knew him. Right. I'd worked with him before here when he was offensive coordinator. And I respected him and held him in the highest regard. I knew that he was going to be a great head coach someday. I didn't think it'd be so quickly back here at Auburn, but we're blessed to have him.
It's because
of those things. And you know, Ronnie and Jason, the trees are tall over here in the SEC.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got to have somebody go toe to toe with everybody in this league. And I don't know when Gus sleeps. I really don't. And my whole goal is to win championships. And certainly he's done that, and he'll continue to do that. We're going to do it in all of our sports.
Yeah. Right. One more thing, I'll let Ronnie throw a question at you.
Mm-hmm.
Did the thought, and from what you said, it probably didn't. You probably already answered this, but did the thought ever cross your mind, you know, here a guy is just a few years out of high school coaching, this Auburn job may be way too big for him?
No, it never did. But because I had seen him work here as the offensive
right.
coordinator and the way he ran his staff, that is oftentimes a concern. It is a demanding league that we're in, and it often can be a daunting challenge for a guy that's never sat in the big chair before. Fortunately, you know, Gus had a year at Arkansas State where he learned how to manage different things, but as a high school coach, and we talked about it in the interview, as a high school coach, you have to manage a lot of things as well. It's just not on your radio show every afternoon.
Yeah, right.
And so people aren't scrutinizing it, but you still have to manage a staff. You have to make sure the field is marked off, where the kids are going to eat, pregame meal, the bus times, and probably more. Even sometimes you're the weight room coach. So that management and that time management was a trait that he's always had. And he is such a particular of attention to detail, which is a characteristic the successful coaches in this league have. That they have attention to detail. They don't miss anything. So, it could be an issue. It never was with Gus.
Yeah. And Jay, just from an outside perspective, of course, I've never met Coach Malzahn or anything else, and you know, I'm an old retired educator too, but he seems so genuine and so grounded, because he doesn't mind a bit talking about, you know, when he was coaching in high school, and I just think he relates so well in Auburn, into the community, you know, and in the state as a whole. I mean, he is very popular. Whether you're an Alabama or Auburn fan, he is very popular because of his demeanor. Would that be a correct statement?
I think that is, Ronnie. First of all, let me tell you that I, as a parent of three daughters, and my oldest daughter it just started teaching first grade right here in Auburn City Schools this year. She graduated in May. And as a parent of three, and my wife and I are foster parents, I want to tell you thank you as an educator, because you folks are underpaid and overworked, and people bring their children to you to fix them. And I just appreciate anybody that is an educator. And so, Ronnie,
well, I appreciate it. Thank you, Jim.
Appreciate you, man. My hat goes off to you. We need more people that are committed to our children than we currently have, and we need to applaud those teachers and educators and administrators that are trying to make our society better. But back to your specific question, but what I had to say there was more important than this, is that, you know, Gus is a teacher.
Right.
And so he loves teaching. He's an educator. And that high school background that you're familiar with, you know, you have to teach.
Absolutely.
And Gus does a great job with that, and that's why he's such a great communicator. Because he can simplify things. This offense
right.
looks so complicated, but he can simplify it. You know, fortunately, this is the first year he's had a quarterback for 2 years in a row. But,
absolutely.
You know, he took Cam and Nick last year and took them to the playoffs. And, you know, because he simplified things. Well, he's a great teacher, and his demeanor is outstanding, and he's just a man of character and integrity.
I agree. You knocked it, as far as I'm concerned, you knocked it out of the park when you hired Gus Malzahn at Auburn. Regardless if he stays 2 years or 25 years, you knocked it out of the park.
Well,
you deserve credit for that.
He was the right fit for Auburn at the right time, and we're blessed to have him. And again, Ronnie, thanks for
right.
what you have done for education here in the state.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. Hey, let's change gears and talk about knocking it out of the park. Let's do it. Let's talk a little round ball now. Tell me, how in heaven's name did you get Bruce Pearl?
Hey, did Jason and Ronnie?
I mean, yeah.
Here we are.
You're like a genie with a bottle.
Here we are on the day that the college football playoff poll is coming out, and we're talking men's basketball.
Hey, we got to.
Who would have ever thought that would be talking that, you know, at this time of the year?
Jay, the last time I was excited.
Everybody listening to us would have never thought that.
No, exactly.
The last time I was excited about Auburn basketball was when Chris Porter was playing. If that tells you anything. So.
And you were an infant.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's a blessing to have here. It was just one of those God things. When I made the change with Tony on that Wednesday night, Thursday morning, the first person I called was Bruce. I'd already done my homework on him. a friend of mine used to be the AD at Tennessee, Mike Hamilton. I'd been talking to Mike for a couple of weeks about Bruce. I knew that we needed a spark. Right. I knew that we needed somebody to come in here and embrace the Auburn family and then embrace him, and let's just get this thing back going and get a guy with Bruce's personality and his generosity, and to have gone to, out of 19 years, gone to 17 postseason playoffs. It was just icing on the cake. The challenge was to get Bruce to realize that I was serious.
Yeah.
When I called him on Thursday morning, and he was in Bristol, Connecticut, working for ESPN, and he really couldn't wrap his mind around it at first because he had this show Cause, which didn't run out until August 23rd, and he wasn't prepared to get back in college coaching.
Right.
And so we visited on Friday night for a long time, and then again on Saturday morning, and he went and visited with his family on Monday night, and I was there when he did, and he said, "I'm all in." And he has been all in ever since he got here, and we're blessed to have him. I don't know how good we'll be in basketball as far as wins go,
right?
But I know that we got an exhibition game a week from Friday night,
right.
and we're sold out.
Oh, sure.
About sold out, $5 a ticket. So it's going to be a great environment. The guys are going to play hard, and the team's having fun. You know, by some polls, we've got a top 5 or 10 recruiting class coming up in 2015, so it's exciting for men's basketball.
I mean, that's just remarkable, and even the short time he's been there, he's got some kids coming in that's going to be able to play this year for him that, you know, you probably, honestly, you would have never been able to touch if somebody with the caliber of Bruce Pearl wasn't there.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. I mean, he brings so much to the table, you know, and guys want to play for him. He loves his players.
Yeah. And I can imagine in the student body, those kids have to love Bruce Pearl.
They do.
I mean, he's a kid. I mean, he's just a grown kid. You know?
Yeah. Hey, there's a bunch of kids that are 60 years old that love him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, so, hey guys, Thursday night we're having Pearl Jam. Thursday night in the arena. We've invited all the students. Bruce did it. He's invited all the students to come to the arena, and he's going to find out what kind of music they want us to play during the game and what kind of cheers. He's getting them all organized and gets them involved.
That's what it takes.
I saw where he went into a, was it a management class or something, and popped a pep band or something. Hey, I got to know, did the instructor know what was coming?
Yeah, he did.
He did, okay.
He did. We're not quite that there yet where we just walk in on the instructor. But, yeah, the instructor do it, and our people, our video people, had it all set up so you're able to see it on YouTube.
Yeah,
so those of you listeners that don't know what we're talking about, it's the Auburn basketball takeover of a classroom that happened last week, and it's pretty cool.
It is cool.
Yeah, even some Alabama fans told me that got them fired up.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, I'll say this. Having Bruce Pearl in the state of Alabama has put a lot of pressure on some other coaches, and I won't call any names or where they are, but he's talking about putting some major pressure on them because they're going to have to perform or they're going to have to go.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of our great coaches in this league, and what we've seen in football, what we were talking about earlier in football, guys, was that, you know, it's made everybody get better. And having Bruce back in this league is going to make everybody get better.
I agree.
Right.
And it's great for the SEC. We needed to, you know, the commissioner told us at our April meeting, or I guess our March meeting it was. We were at the SEC tournament, matter of fact. He told us, we've got to do something to get better in basketball. And I told him, I took him at his word. I went and fired my coach and hired Bruce. So
you did the right thing.
It was expensive, but worth every penny. I can tell you that.
But now, last year the SEC only had two teams in the field of 64, I believe.
We've got a lot of room to get better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
Hey, last thing, Jay, I know you're a busy man and have been more than generous with your time, but since becoming athletic director at Auburn in 2004, you've moved the Auburn athletic program forward in high speed. The Chiswick hire brought Auburn a national championship. The basketball team now enjoys one of the best coliseums in the SEC. Gus Malzahn's brought Auburn football back to the top where we compete for a national title. Bruce Pearl bringing excitement back to basketball, fans ready to support the team again. Things are great at Auburn right now, but if you had a wish list, give me two things that would be on that wish list that you want to see accomplished at Auburn over the next few years.
We're going to be it's my vision and strategic plan, so I'm a little bit farther down the road, Jason, than the wish list. but we're going to be the place that has the best experience for student athletes in the nation. That's where we're going to be. And what we've done is the university's built a state-of-the-art residence hall right across the street from here at the athletic complex. We opened on August the 17th, opened a wellness kitchen, All You Care to Eat, and our student athletes love that. We have a career development program that is second to none, our sports medicine. And so that's what we're going to become. That's our wish list, and that's my vision, that's my strategic plan, and all the pieces are coming together. It's taking time, you know, with the construction of different things and the addition of program support, but that's what we're going to be. We're going to be the number one place in the nation for a student athlete to have an experience. The second thing is that to compete for championships, SEC championships in all 21 of our sports, and I'm not gonna take my foot off the throttle on that. Everybody's got to get better. We're providing state of the art facilities with every one of our sports, with the exception of two, and we're well on our way to fixing those. But we're going to provide the best support for our coaches and our student athletes to compete for SEC championships. And you both know well, and everybody on this call knows that if you compete for SEC championships, you'll compete for national championships.
That's right.
I'm all about winning championships. So those are my two not only wish lists, but those are my two goals, and I'm going to be relentless until we get there.
And I believe, seeing your performance in the past, I don't think there's any question you will get there, Jay.
Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. You know, it's a blessing to be here, and we've got an incredible opportunity and a platform to develop these student athletes physically, mentally, and spiritually, and I mean wholeheartedly all three of those areas, and that's my commitment. That's my stewardship. That's what I'm here for, and I'm not going to stop until we accomplish those things.
Great. Jay, can't thank you enough.
Absolutely. Man,
we were so excited to get you on, and you've been more than generous with your time. I know you've got a million things you could be doing right now, but took the time to talk to us for a few minutes, and I'm going to leave you, let Ronnie say a little something. I'm going to leave you with just a big war eagle, and let's go get the Rebels.
I hear you. Thank you so much, Jason.
Hey, Jay, this has been great for me personally just to be able to talk with you. I'm just so excited, you know, to have the opportunity to speak with you. And it's very evident, very clear why Auburn is being as successful as they are athletically, because it starts at the top. And you just strike me as a guy that we could jump in a golf cart and go play around the golf together and have a ball.
I'd love to do that sometime.
Sounds good.
I appreciate very much you all having me on, and I'm happy to do it anytime. It's a blessing. And hey, War Eagle Jason, and God bless Ronnie, and thank you all very much.
Same to you, Jay. Have a great day and a great weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right. That's
wow.
Athletic Director Jay Jacobs. And we'll talk about the interview but all I can say is impressive.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Right.
Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
You're listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.
It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building sales consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
All right, we're back with you, 427 Sports Talk Live. I just finished up an interview with Jay Jacobs. And Ronnie, being an Alabama fan, what's your thoughts?
Extremely impressed. The guy knows what's going on. Like he said, he has a vision, he has a goal. He's relentless in what he's trying to accomplish, and you can't question anything that he's done recently, you know, with the hiring of Gus and Malzahn and the hiring of Bruce Pearl. So I'm extremely impressed with him, and like we said at the end, he just came across as a guy that we could, you know, sit down and you know, have something to eat or jump right. a golf cart or jump in a boat and go fishing.
Yeah, he you know, just, wasn't somebody that talked to you like you know that
yeah,
you're
yeah.
first
Do you know who I am? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he is. Like I said, he's somebody that very easy to talk to, and I guess that is why he is where he's at.
I guess so, and it's why we're where we're at. But hey, if you heard that interview and you have some comments you want to make, you know, about the interview with Jay, give us a call at 737-9951. We'd love to hear from you, what you
right,
thought
I'm
about
sure
Jay Jacobs.
Eddie is listening in. Eddie, if you got any thoughts, comments, yeah. give us a call. Sandy Day called and won the moolah
yes.
a little earlier and says that I owe her a gift certificate and T-shirt. Now, the T-shirt was mailed. Where it went, I
the
do not know.
The T-shirt was mailed.
Yeah, the T-shirt was mailed last week. Sandy, if you don't get that tomorrow, let me know. And if we have to, we'll hand-deliver you a shirt. And I need to be reminded about the gift certificate. Not saying I don't owe it. I just need to be reminded.
You know what it is yeah. what it's for. So you can make a note of it.
Right.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Great interview with Jay Jacobs.
Yeah, he said also at the end of that interview, and it's on tape anytime.
Anytime.
So we'll be calling him once a week.
we think we can get him on every Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah. Hey, Ronnie, let's go before we talk SEC football, yeah. talk about some of the local events. Looking at the volleyball. I know we got some local teams that's made it into the playoffs. And here's a stat that I wanted to bring up. Coach Rosemary Brown, Good Hope.
Yes.
In her 13th state tournament appearance, and I get this, over 900 wins throughout her
900 wins.
900 wins.
My goodness, hey, I would have never guessed anything like that.
That's pretty stout.
Now, we're going to say that they play a whole lot of games
Addison
each year.
Addison this year is 50-2.
Okay.
So,
it's possible for those to add up in a hurry.
How about this? While we're talking about top-ranked Addison, 50-2, hasn't lost a game to a school of the same classification since the 2012 state championship.
Since 2012.
So
wow.
That is pretty strong
and,
right there.
And that's some athletes right there.
Oh, yeah.
Girls that are, or anybody, but if you're a volleyball player and a good one, you are an athlete.
I think Good Hope, Holly Pond also in the state tournament or getting close to the state tournament.
Yeah, this time we got a lot of good local volleyball talent, so we wish them all, you know, the best as they pursue that elusive state championship.
While you're looking up your information, I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody the People's Bank Player of the Week. And we had two players. Ronnie and I text back and forth about this earlier today. Had two players from the same team, and it could have went either way there, and we came up with one. People's Bank, again, the sponsor of our Player of the Week. And this week, the player is from Vinemont High School, Trey Guthrie.
Old Trey. I know old Trey.
You're going to have to tell me what set of Guthries that's from, but I know
that's
several.
Tammy and Rodney Guthrie's youngest son.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know them well then.
that's who it is.
I knew they had a young, but I didn't know it was named.
That's
Trey Guthrie, Player of the Week. Now, running here is all he did in one night's work. He forced a fumble.
That's
had
good.
A fumble recovery.
That's even better.
Six tackles.
Wow.
Two pass breakups, seven catches on offense for 183 yards and two touchdowns.
he basically looked like he played by himself.
And while he was out, he was getting the rest of the players' water. But, hey, he did.
Marked off a field, mowed it during halftime. Wow, what a night.
Has been recognized by the Alabama Sports Writers Association for his play, and we're going to recognize him, too, and make him the People's Bank Player
Absolutely.
Of the Week.
We'll get a plaque made and get it to old Trey up there at the pinnacle.
Hey, the Eagles, Friday night, Vimont and Cold Springs come away with big victories.
They did. Well, since you mentioned that, Jason, let's just go through this past Friday night. For anybody who may not have heard the scores.
Can you run down our picks while we're doing that? Because I know I didn't do too well this week, I don't think. So.
Maybe I can do two things at once.
I think you can. And I think you probably beat me this week.
You think so? All right. Well, we're about to find out. West Point was the host team with Lawrence County. West Point ended up winning the game 21-14, very close game. Matter of fact, it was an overtime game. Where they won
that's
that.
As so close as you
that's
get.
That's as close
at the
as you
can
get.
Game.
They won in overtime. So West Point defeated Lawrence County, and I got that correct, and Jason missed it. So he picked Lawrence County. Then we had Muscle Shoals in Coleman. Muscle Shoals won that 28-0. They were up 21-0 at the half and finished it off to be up 28-0. Both of us there picked Muscle Shoals. So
and I think that done Coleman in. Any playoff hopes that might have remained went down with that game. So.
I believe you're right. Vimont was on the road, as Jason just mentioned there, with our Player of the Week at Winston County over in Double Springs, and they won 27-21. At halftime, it was 21-13. And, again, at the end of the game, 27-21 Vimont, and we both had Vimont with that one, Jason. So we got it right. Holly Pond and Winfield. Holly Pond was on the road. Winfield won 44-19. It was 34-6 at the half. So Winfield defeated Holly Pond, and we both got that one right. Susan Moore and Hansel. Now, this was something else. Susan Moore won the game 15-14. Halftime, Hansel was ahead 14-0. Then Susan Moore comes back. They scored 15 points in the fourth quarter, I believe. Yeah, in the fourth quarter to win the football game. The bad part about it is, Jason, they threw a Hail Mary at the end of the game, trying to throw it into the end zone, had an interference call. There's no time on the clock, okay? Zeros, no time. They get one more play. They throw another Hail Mary, score a touchdown, go for two, get the two, and win 15-14. They scored 8 points with no time on the clock. Now, boy, does that not kill you?
Hey, that should be illegal.
Wow. Oh, that's just awful. I mean, that's so tough to end a game, no time on the clock, and you get beat 15-14. Somebody scores a touchdown and then convert to 2 points. So, wow. I believe I missed that one because I picked Holly Pond. And Jason, you got it right.
No, we were on the Hansville game.
I meant Hansville.
Okay.
Hansville, Susan Moore, I'm sorry. North Jackson, Good Hope was on the road, and North Jackson got the best of Good Hope, 62-14 at the half.
North Jackson got the best of Good Hope, their fans, their band.
They got it all.
Yeah,
they got it all.
Points.
It was 62-7 at half.
62-7 at halftime.
Yeah, ended up 62-14, so that's putting them up there. I think I took North Jackson and Jason took Good Hope there.
You sure you didn't have that reverse running?
I'm positive. Fairview. Fairview was at home against Butler. They defeated Butler 33-0. They were ahead 20-0 at the half. And I think Butler is 0 for about their last 21 or 22 games, something like that. So Jason took Butler, and I took Fairview. So got that one.
I may have missed more than I hit.
You missed three. That's what you missed. We got one more. Cold Springs and Tarrant. Now, boy, this was a shootout. Cold Springs won 36-33. At the half, it was 29-12. Cold Springs favor. At the end of the third, it was 36-24. Still Cold Springs. And then at the end of the game, 36-33. So Cold Springs defeated Tarrant. And so that only – I know that – I'm not sure of what spot Cold Springs is at, about the – I'd say probably the three spot as far as their seed.
I think so.
Yeah. Because you've
got – Cold Springs lost to two strong teams,
yes, they
Tanner
did.
And Addison.
Yes,
so.
Yes. So I think that puts them at three. So that those are – that's a round up of your high school games. Again, Jason missed three, and I missed two, so I got the best of him, you know, for this week in high school. So, hey, before we go, I guess we're going to go to a break pretty quick, but before we go to a break, I want to remind everybody that the Jay Jacobs interview will be available on demand on live95coleman.com sometime later this afternoon. So, if you missed it and you want to, you know, hear our interview with Jay Jacobs, that's the way to do it. So,
hey, it's worth a listen to.
It's worth a listen to. You, if you
not
don't
that
like
done anything, but Jay Jacobs listening to him,
yeah, yeah,
it's worth a replay.
You might have, if you don't like, if you're not an Auburn person, Jay Jacobs might he could possibly change your mind.
Yeah, there will some Alabama fans pulling for Auburn this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I'm one of them.
All right, time for a break. We'll be right back. Live 95 Coleman.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Coleman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Coleman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum.
All right, 4:40 Tuesday afternoon, going through some local sports, and Ronnie going to run over the SEC poll is what I'm going to call it, because the SEC is dominating the AP poll.
That is true. My internet is kind of gone. My computer has gone down on me, Jason, so I don't know.
Well, maybe we won't do that then.
We'll try it again right here and see if I can pull it up and see what was going on with the SEC and then with the polls. So take me just a minute.
I know this. I know Auburn, the 42-35 win, managed to squeak up in the number four now, I think?
Auburn is up at number four, yeah.
Which, okay. You know how much that matters, Ronnie?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Doesn't mean, yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, you just got to win, just like Jay was talking about. As he said, it's basically a playoff game every week.
Right.
Because you have to win. So, but the top 25, Jason, they're right here. I'll call them all out to us. Some people may have interest with, you know, different schools. Number 25 is UCLA, who I picked to be in the playoff, and
UCLA has
they're
tanked.
6-2.
They have tanked.
So doesn't look like they're going to be making it. Then 24 is Duke. 23 is Marshall. They're still undefeated. 22 is Clemson. 21 is East Carolina. 20, West Virginia, sitting at 6-2, and that bodes really well for Alabama, just as you were talking about with Kansas State.
Again, I think that's still Auburn and Alabama's most impressive wins.
Right. So, again, West Virginia is at rank number 20, sitting at 6-2. Then we have Jason's favorite team, the Oklahoma Sooners.
You gotta love them.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we have Utah at 18, Nebraska at 17, LSU 16, Arizona State 15, Arizona 14, Ohio State 13, Baylor 12, Kansas State is in at number 11. The only game they have lost was to Auburn. They are 6-1.
Probably shouldn't have lost that game.
And probably shouldn't have. I mean, you're right. They outplayed.
I'd like to see
you know, certainly Auburn ended up on the scoreboard winning, but Kansas State gave away a lot of opportunities there that they could have and probably should have won the game. Number 10, TCU. Number 9, Georgia Bulldogs. Number 8, Michigan State. Number 7, Ole Miss. They went from 3 down to 7, and hopefully they will be dropping again this week because Auburn plays Ole Miss. So
I'm gonna tell you 2 or 3 days ahead of time.
Yeah.
Auburn wins that game.
You're telling me 2 or 3 days ahead of time, and that's
we pick on Thursday. But
yes.
Go ahead and mark it down.
That's on the road.
Take that.
Is that on the road?
Yep.
Okay.
Auburn wins that one.
I'll take it. I hope that's what happens. Again, Ole Miss number 7. Notre Dame comes in at 6. Number 5 is Oregon. 4, Auburn. 3, Alabama. 2, Florida State. They have 14 first place votes. And the number 1 ranked team in the country that I thought I would not be saying in 2014 is the Mississippi State Bulldogs. They have 46 first place votes. Out of the top 5, we have 3 teams out of the Western Division of the SEC. And then you got Ole Miss, who is number 7. So, out of the top 10, there's 4 of them out of the same division, not necessarily the conference. They're out of the same division. So, there's a rundown of the top 25 for this week. And, of course, we all know that the committee selection will be coming out tonight at 7:30 Eastern time, 6:30 our time. So, we'll see how much different it may be. I think it's going to be different. I don't think Alabama and Auburn both will be there.
No, I don't either. And I'll tell you a team to watch because for some reason the sportscasters are in love with them. A lot of the nation is in love with them, and the other part of the nation can't stand them. But watch Notre Dame. Watch and see where they're at. I'm going to predict they're going to be, if not in the top 4, they're going to be in the top 6. With a good possibility to move up into that top 4.
I agree. And they're probably going to be able to, you know, depending on their schedule, they're probably going to be able to run the table the rest of the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Florida State, if they get by this weekend playing Louisville, in which that line has dropped, I'm not sure why, but that line has went from 6.5, 7 points down to, I think, 3.5 now. So.
That may be a much better game, Jason, than what people are anticipating.
So tell me, Ronnie, and tell the Alabama fans, Eddie Gwynn on Facebook has been arguing this about why Alabama fans need to pull for Auburn. You still got some Alabama fans that says they're going to take their chances with Mississippi State beating Ole Miss at the end of the year. So,
well, for me, the reason is simply this. If Auburn can beat Ole Miss, that they are eliminated.
Right.
They cannot win this West. Well, they won't win the West probably. Well, you know, people say the same thing. Well, if Ole Miss were to beat Auburn, then Auburn is essentially eliminated. But for me personally, I want Auburn to win because I want it to come down to the Iron Bowl, the Alabama-Auburn game, to determine who goes to the West. Well, I don't want it left up because if it doesn't come down to that, then neither one of them are going.
You're right. You're right about that. And I'm still having a hard time with what may happen, and we've talked about it.
Yeah.
If Mississippi State goes to that SEC championship, loses game, even though it could be Auburn or Alabama.
Yeah.
All right, say Auburn. In Auburn's case, if Mississippi State goes in, Alabama beats them, goes to the championship, loses in the championship.
To probably Georgia.
And then Auburn could go ahead of Mississippi State, even though Mississippi State beat them heads up. That gives Mississippi State two losses, Auburn one loss. Even though they didn't play in the SEC championship, Mississippi State is penalized.
Right. Or vice versa.
Right.
Alabama or Auburn, it could be either one, though, right?
Right. But Alabama would have to beat Mississippi State.
Yes.
Or it's not going to matter.
Right, so. Right. Alabama's going to beat Mississippi State.
Go ahead and write that down.
I guarantee it.
Hey, you got it, folks. Ronnie is guaranteeing a victory.
Hey, here's what I think. I know probably some of it's because they're playing at home. I think they have a better chance of beating Mississippi State than they do LSU.
I didn't see that one coming.
I'm telling you, LSU just LSU really, they really scare me for a lack of better term, yeah. You know.
And I'm not because getting a we're good going to we're going LSU because of what Auburn done to them. So
yeah, but I think that team is long gone.
I'm not sure. I heard I'm talking about, you know, have you heard people say, boy, you better be glad you caught that team early in the year, or they caught them early in the year, so and so.
Yeah.
Well, it's early for both teams.
It is.
So
it is.
But you know, which Auburn didn't really catch LSU early.
Right,
it's kind of
right.
Mid-season.
I think LSU is a much, much, much improved team over what they were when they played Auburn.
Yeah, they have been winning some games.
And they're at home.
But the SEC in general, the West – it's kind of for a lack of turns, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
I agree.
You don't know from week to week team's going to show up.
That's true. That's the absolute fact. It's like pro football.
Right.
I mean, that's...
I don't know what's going on here, but...
I don't know either, but yeah. I hear it.
That's your Halloween special bumper music.
Oh, okay. So time for us to take a break?
Getting there.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't realize it was time to take a break. I guess we'll pick back up in a minute. Hey, also, it's Russellville will be at Coleman Friday night, and that is senior night. Friday night will be senior night at Coleman, as will it be for all the schools that are hosting this week. The last final regular season game is always senior night.
While we're talking about Alabama football, Ronnie, I want to bring up something, and I'm sure you've seen it.
Are we going to break?
No, I don't think this is break music.
Is this break music, Jay?
I don't know, is it?
Maybe not.
We may need to know so we know whether to keep talking or not. So. Let's talk Alabama football. We'll take a break when Jay gives us the break music.
When he gives us the break music. Okay.
Okay, Alabama gotcha. Paying Nick Saban...
That's got my
gorge screwed up. Just go
ahead. Nick Saban earning $7 million, actually $7.3 million a year.
Yeah.
Would you say that is a decent income?
You can get by on it.
Okay. If that's not enough, the Alabama
Crimson
Tide Foundation, and hey, I'm not saying anything bad about this, but the Alabama Crimson Tide Foundation paid off Nick Saban's house, $3.1 million, giving him a $200,000 profit on the house.
Yeah,
it is and I don't know how he and his family fit in this house, 8,759 square foot home that he bought in 2007. The foundation has been picking up the tab for the property tax, so they went ahead and bought the house. Mr. Saban is allowed to live in the house as long as he sees necessary.
As long as he's, I guess, a head football coach at Alabama.
Would that not be a sweet deal?
That's a pretty sweet gig right there now.
So
he has no...
Anyone that wants to buy my house, give me a $200,000. I'll take a $50,000 profit.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Just cause you're a good old
let
soul.
Let me live there.
Yeah.
Until I die.
Yeah.
Just give me a call. We'll work something out on that.
The
timing on that, Ronnie, though,
it's kind of strange, isn't it?
What's peculiar is right around when Texas was hunting a coach.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before either. Maybe somebody else.
It's not uncommon.
It's not uncommon. Right. Okay, I just hadn't heard of that.
Okay, right. I think this music means it's time for a break.
I recognize that.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
I'm Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Coretti,
inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman. This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware. AK Rentals has been serving Coleman and the surrounding areas for over 22 years. Why buy when you can rent what you really need from AK Rentals, like construction equipment, trenches, lifts, tractors, and thousands of other items. Plus, AK Rentals is now your authorized dealer for Echo Power Equipment and Shindawa Trimmers and Equipment. AK Rentals, Highway 31 North, open Monday through Friday 7 to 5 and Saturday till noon, 734-0038, 734-0038.
Is your paycheck slipping away in insurance premiums? Let Alpha Insurance show you how to tackle savings with rewards and discounts for loyal customers. Save even more when you bundle your home, car, and life insurance with Alpha. Plus, you'll get friendly service from the hometown team right here in Coleman. That would be Cynthia Phillips, reachable at 256-734-1224, or stop by and pay her a visit behind Sonic Drive-In at 216 Compass Way Southwest. You can also send her an email, cphillips@alphains.com.
I'm Tommy Warhurst with Farmers Insurance. When was the last time you sat down with your agent for a review of your coverages? It's probably been a while. But your insurance is about you and protecting your family. And you should be a part of selecting the coverage that's best for you and get it at a price that fits your budget. My focus is you and doing what's right for you and your family, all while helping you save money. If you'd like a free insurance review, my number is 256-338-3701, and the website is thewarhurstagency.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba-da, bum, 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 bum.
We're the all-new Live 95 WRKM-LP Coleman.
The lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. He did the monster mash.
Oh. All right, the sound of money after a little monster mash.
Money, that's it, a little monster mash.
Hey, you may want to mash old moolah.
Sandy mashed old moolah this morning, hey, or just a little bit ago,
I'm
didn't
telling
you?
You, the people around Dodge City area,
yeah,
you better watch out.
They
are detectives, it's in their blood. Something
they are
Sandy, and it's something about that name too. So
they are on top of things, aren't they?
Moolah brought to you today, as every day that we have the Moolah contest, by People's Bank. They are our sponsor the Player of the Week. Also, thanks to them, this segment possible. And Ronnie has came up with a location that Moolah was spotted. So
yeah, I did.
Moolah
is mentally hidden.
Is in a place that I don't know a whole lot about, so Ronnie's going to take reins from here.
From outer parts. Parts unknown.
All right, Ronnie, what's our first clue?
Our first clue is, if you're looking for Moolah, the sum of your highway might be 9.
The sum of the highway might be 9.
That's
is
right.
It 9 or not?
It is.
Okay. It is.
It is now. I'm sorry. That one doesn't need to be a might, does it?
Yeah, we got so used to saying might.
Yeah, yeah. Sum of the highway is 9. That's my clue.
So listen in. There'll be another clue before we go off the air today. And once again, Ronnie will be giving the clue because I'm lost.
Okay, that's going to be your homework.
I will study up on
where Moolah's hidden.
That's
right. And then you'll come up with a clue.
Speaking of studying up, we talked about Florida State a little bit earlier. I want to hit that again, and I hate to keep using the word "hit" when I talk about Florida State.
That's a bad.
But gonna just read a couple of things in an article that I had pulled up today, just the kind of the highlights of it. But for those of you who might live in a cave, or as my son is, his TV has been out for a week now. I don't know how.
Oh,
anybody
goodness.
Goes a week without TV.
What's the deal with that?
But Florida State, once again in the news, is they have a player once again in trouble, and this time it is for domestic violence. I think you said you had seen pictures of the...
I'd heard there were pictures out there that his girlfriend had taken.
Up.
Yes, she's supposedly bruised up. I didn't see them, so I don't know.
Okay, and think about after the Notre Dame win, Jimbo delivering the post-game speech, insisting that his team was founded on honesty and integrity, and he goes on, and this article, the writer says, when a liar gets caught in lies, he often attempts to deflect attention by arguing the real motive here is something more sinister. All right, Jimbo has made the statement now that the SEC and ESPN are more or less in bed together, and they've got it out for Florida State. And that is the reason all this.
I see. Okay, so it has nothing to do with some of the choices that your players have made.
Right.
It's all somebody else's fault.
Right. Last week, Jimbo was asked why he thought his team was receiving so much negative national media attention, and he said, first, ESPN has the money in the SEC.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
That's kind of like
can't even follow him.
That's kind of like the clip we did of Lou Holtz, you know, from the last show, you know, trying to figure out what Lou Holtz was saying.
And the writer here, Ronnie, goes on to say, yes, Jimbo, ESPN's relationship with the SEC is the reason your quarterback was investigated for rape. ESPN's the reason your quarterback stole crab legs and walked on Publix. ESPN's the reason your running back may have beaten his pregnant girlfriend. ESPN's the reason your running back may have robbed a Marine. I can't believe ESPN has so much mind control over your players' actions. So not only has this guy beat his girlfriend, but he has robbed a Marine. ESPN hates Florida State, Ronnie, so much that they paid Florida State $20 million last year to air its football and basketball games.
$20 million. Good thing they didn't like you.
Oh, I'm telling you, I wish they didn't like me.
I wish they'd hate me, and I'll give you my address. Mail the check directly.
The writer says, do you remember the way ESPN covered SEC players like Johnny Manziel and Cam Newton?
Yeah.
Neither one of these guys were investigated for any kind of criminal wrongdoing, yet both of these guys got covered like they were members of Al Capone's gang. Cam probably got paid to play football for Auburn. Johnny Manziel overslept for the Manning Passing Academy and probably got paid for signing autographs.
Right.
Compared to Jameis Winston and FSU, Florida State is getting off light. I mean, yeah, when you compare Jameis Winston to yeah, the Cam Newton. And
right.
It so is. The plot thickens yeah, with Jimbo.
Same song. Well, not kind of the same song, different verse. It just they cannot stay out of trouble with law.
And Florida State fans even tiring of it. I yeah, heard a couple of them earlier today saying that they would be glad to see Jameis gone, that they didn't care if it cost them 3 or 4 games a year. They'd rather lose the games than continue yeah, down the yeah, Jameis Winston road.
And you know the administration, and honestly, you, the coaching staff too, I would assume. I would certainly would have believed that, you know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, you know, about Jimbo. You know, his happiest day was when he signed Jameis signed to come to Florida State, and his happiest day is when he leaves. But now, you know, I don't know if that'd be the case now or not. He's much in the boat with him now.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't see Jameis. Some people have thought he might hang around another year because of all the trouble to try yeah, to up, you yeah, know, behave
up
himself,
his stock.
But
yeah,
I don't think he can stand another year of it.
No, he may not can. And they may not can stand another year of him either.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting if he decides to come out and see where he goes in the NFL draft.
Where do you say he goes? Right off the bat, I mean, what would you say? If
the draft were held today, so he's been out of trouble for a week, middle of the pack, first round.
I'm going to say he would go in the top 4 or 5 picks. I think the NFL will suddenly get yeah, amnesia. And,
yeah.
If he can throw the football, they don't care.
Well, you may be right. Only time will tell that, won't it?
That's it. So, let's get off Florida State.
Yeah.
Talk about our teams.
I got you. Hey, but before we start in on Alabama and Auburn, Jason, let's just mention we know that this committee's coming out with their poll tonight at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. There are 5 main criteria, that's the word I was looking for, that they're supposed to base their decision on, and I'll just give those to you. One is strength of schedule, head-to-head matchups, and going back to strength of schedule, the SEC West or the SEC in general will have no problem with that. Even what makes their cases even better is in, like for Auburn's instance, they went to Kansas State, defeated Kansas State. Kansas State, I think, is ranked 11th. The only game they've lost is to Auburn. So that bodes really well for Auburn. Alabama opened the season against West Virginia. West Virginia's lost 2 games, and they're ranked 20th in the land. So that bodes well for the University of Alabama when we're talking about strength of schedule. So strength of schedule, head-to-head matchups, and that's going to tell the tape. I mean, that's going to do basically the bottom line for the SEC, determine who's going to get in, who's not going to get in. It's just their head-to-head matchups. Records against common opponents, conference championships, and injuries, but stress they are not weighed or in any priority. So no one of these is any more important than the other. But so that is the criteria for the committee to come up with their rankings. And again, this ranking they come out with tonight won't mean squat.
Right. And you know as well as I do, Ronnie, we've talked about it before, when you get behind closed doors,
yeah,
a lot of it's going to boil down to personality.
It is.
Who can influence who.
And Jay, he kind of alluded to, you know, he thought it would just be, you know, it'd be on the, and hey, he knows more about it than I do. I just have a hard time believing that somebody goes in there from Auburn University, who's on the committee, or from the University of Alabama, or from Oregon or Florida State, and they're not going to lobby for their team
right,
to be in.
I mean, it's just nature.
There's no, I don't think there's a way to get out of that.
But Jay Jacobs is the Auburn athletic director, and he has
there's
to
certain
say
way
the
he
right
ha- oh, sure, yeah. Publicly, he has to
because
say the right thing.
The,
he don't want to chap any of them.
If he says, oh, it's going to be.
Yeah, they're all a bunch of crooks. And
the first thing you know, our show is on ESPN. That's right. And Jay Jacobs is being played.
Yes.
Saying that.
That's right. And then we'll sound like Lou Holtz.
No, we could have got him to say that. We could have made ESPN.
There you go.
So I think he's a little smarter than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. he answered all those questions, very politically correct.
Hey, if somebody will give us a call, Ronnie.
Yep.
256-737-9951. Tell us the year Jay Jacobs mentioned he played football at Auburn.
Oh, that's a good trivia.
He mentioned it the first part of the interview.
Yep.
You call, tell us, win a Sports Talk Live t-shirt, and we'll throw in a couple of the Sports Talk.
We got some cups.
Cups.
Yeah, man. We.
So let's see if anybody was paying attention.
Got it.
And do you remember the year?
Nope.
I got it. But the only reason I've got it locked in my head is I wrote it down.
It was 19-something. How about
that's
that?
That's right. 19-something.
Something or other. That's it. But, hey, if you know the answer to that, give us a call, 737-9951, and take a shot at it.
Did we mention Friday Night Live? Have we already mentioned that?
Well, no. But I'm not, other than mention that Coleman plays against Russellville. But I assume that's going to be the game that Jason and
That's the game,
Tommy,
isn't it, Jay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The Coleman-Russellville game Friday night. Friday Night Live will be broadcasting that game. They will be come on the air at 6:40, and the kickoff should be at 7 o'clock. I think Jay said earlier that last week they kicked off at 10 minutes till 7, so I don't understand that.
What do they just
we warmed up. Let's play.
Let's play.
So
kind of backyard football.
That's it. That's right. So tune them in. Turn your radio on. Listen to Tommy and Jason. They do a great job. If you can, you can stream it, off the internet or off of your iPhone, whatever the case may be. But Friday Night Live will be at Coleman Stadium this Friday night, Coleman versus Russellville.
If somebody, another trivia question from the interview, Ronnie, if somebody will tell me the team that Auburn will pick up in, I think it was 2015.
I know that one.
From the West Coast.
Yeah.
Somebody tell that, also be a winner. Answer either one of those questions.
Either one can get you the same prize.
That's it.
You got it.
What does the weekend look like other than Auburn Ole Miss? What games do you think going to stand out in your, not going to pick them right now, but what games are you going to be interested in?
You're talking about just in the SEC? Just in the conference?
Is there another conference?
No, not that it matters. If I can find my schedule, I'll tell you. We'll just break. We'll quickly run those down, and we'll go to break, and then we'll come back, and we'll break. We'll talk about Alabama and Auburn's, or Alabama's game this past
week.
We'll
do a little good, bad, and ugly when we come back.
Yeah, we got to do good. That's right. We got to do good, bad, and ugly. Arkansas. Arkansas will be at Mississippi State.
They could hand the Bulldogs a bone.
That's right. That could be an interesting game. Of course, we all know Florida and Georgia. What do they call that one?
Cocktail party.
Cocktail party. That's right. Florida and Georgia are playing this weekend. Kentucky is playing Missouri. LSU is open, and then Alabama's there next week. Ole Miss certainly is playing Auburn. They're home against Auburn. Huge game. South Carolina is playing Tennessee. And Texas A&M is playing Louisiana Monroe. And Vandy is playing Old Dominion. So those are just a quick rundown of the games for this weekend.
Not a stellar weekend in the SEC.
No, not a stellar weekend. The big game big game for me is Auburn Ole Miss.
Right, and game day, where did they end up going? It's not Auburn Ole Miss because they have got a Mississippi problem with game day.
Yeah.
They went to Ole Miss for the Alabama Ole Miss game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, many people thought they should have been at Mississippi again this weekend for the Auburn Ole Miss game, but they're still down the road, the Mississippi State Ole Miss game in Mississippi. And not that it would be in Mississippi, but Mississippi State and Alabama.
Well, they can't stay there all year.
And a lot of people think ESPN moved game day or decided to go somewhere else because of the SEC bias that is supposedly sweeping the country right now.
Yeah, so. you can slice it and dice it and cut it any way you want to. It's the best conference in the country.
And
that's what it all comes down to.
You can't question that. Seven of the eight last national championships.
That's right.
Played in eight of the last eight.
Some of you other guys, like maybe a Florida State or an Oregon, some of you guys, you know, if you were in the SEC, it'd be a different ballgame for you. I think there would already be some more losses, which Oregon's lost one, Florida State hadn't lost any, but if they were in the West, they would have.
Oh, yeah.
I believe.
I think they would have lost
by the end,
one
anyway.
Or two. So.
Yeah, exactly.
We got a few minutes before we go to break, so I'm going to tell the story from Saturday night.
Okay.
We're going to call it the trip from heck.
Okay.
Okay, I sit behind this kid, as I said, the kid that almost made me turn pro-choice.
This heathen?
Yeah. He looked like a ball of hair sitting there first. And people that saw the Facebook picture will agree on that, I'm sure.
But like anyway, a mop?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you could have mopped up Jordan-Hare Stadium, the bleachers, everything. So we go out, get in our vehicle, and everybody's leaving. Yeah. 87,000 people leaving at the same time.
It's going to be a little slow, maybe.
Oh, yeah. And we start to pull out on the road. Normally we pull up, car lets us out, we're on our way.
Right.
End of story. Mm-hmm. Not this time. We pull up, we wait probably 20, 25 minutes sitting there waiting on to get out.
Yeah.
The policemen that are directing traffic at the intersection must have been their first time because they would wave traffic one way and it would back up in the intersection. And then they would start waving traffic coming from our direction. Well, you couldn't go anywhere because the people going the other direction had it blocked.
Hadn't cleared out, yeah.
And once it stopped and got cleared, he would do our lanes the same way. Pull up,
so everybody backed
stopped,
up every
and then
time.
It blocked the other. So we take probably 30, 40 minutes getting out away from the campus at Auburn.
Oh, my.
Get on I-85, headed to Montgomery. Get to mile marker, I think it was 38, and traffic is backed up.
Yeah.
We pull up, stop, pull up, stop. We're in it for about an hour and 40 minutes.
Yikes.
To go 6 miles.
Oh, man. Hour and 40 minutes for 6 miles.
6 miles.
You could walk that.
Oh, easily. Easily. We get up there, and a car hauler loaded with new vehicles has turned over. Now, let me tell you, he's not even in the interstate. He is off the side of the interstate. Both lanes are open.
People just looking.
Yeah. People stretching their neck.
Somebody trying to buy a car.
Yeah.
Get a cut rate.
So we make it. We stay in prep. We make it to the hotel at about 1:45. Tyler and my brother Allen drove back. Got home at 3 o'clock Sunday morning. Allen drove on to Madison. He was home at 4:10 Sunday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, folks, I tell you that the moral of the story is you have a TV set. So, and I'm thinking the whole time we're in traffic, I could have watched this on TV.
Man, absolutely. You're
talking
absolutely right.
A miserable
night. That's horrible.
Night.
That's horrible.
And we had a guy sitting beside Kathy, and me and her ended up having to swap seats because this guy, every 3 or 4 minutes, probably not that old, probably every 10, 15 minutes, would have to go smoke. Well, he'd come back and smell like a tar
reeking,
bucket every time he'd come back.
So. Oh, man.
So the trip from heck.
There you go. But make staying home sound a whole lot better.
Oh, yeah. There's no line at the concession stand.
Bathrooms.
No
always
line.
Clean.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad I stayed home.
So, but I do have tickets. We'll be at the Texas A&M game, and I'm not sure about Samford. That's a long way to drive to watch Auburn play Samford.
Well, so. I agree with that. I agree.
All right, Jay, if you can take us to a break, let us regroup with a little information.
We'll be.
How about we come back with the good, bad, and ugly?
You got it.
And then next break, we'll do a little moolah.
Sounds good.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
I'm Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Caretti.
Inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman.
This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Caretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware.
Planning for a new building can be exciting and at times a little stressful. Take the stress out of your construction project and enjoy the experience of constructing a custom Morton building. From planning your new building to watching it take shape, Morton will be with you every step of the way to build your new garage, riding area, horse barn, hobby shop, or machine storage building. Best of all, Morton stands behind every building with the strongest non-prorated, non-pass-through warranty in the industry. Don't wait to get started on your project. Morton is located in Garden City and can be reached at 256-352-0406 or online at www.mortonbuildings.com. Odin's Auto Glass offers professional and reliable service. With over 30 years of experience, Odin's Auto Glass guarantees your satisfaction. From auto and truck glass to the glass in your big rig, Odin's Auto Glass has you covered. Odin's Auto Glass welcomes insurance claims and is an authorized Safe Life Auto Glass installer. Odin's Auto Glass is located on Highway 31 in Coleman, just north of Highway 157. 734-2800, it's Odin's Auto Glass.
All right, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This segment, we talk about the Auburn, the Alabama games, and just as the title says, what was good, what was bad, and what was ugly. And Ronnie, I'm going to start with my Auburn Tigers.
Lay it on us.
The good, and for one time, I'm going to have to brag on Nick Marshall carrying the football. So, hey. He is a running machine when he's on. And Saturday night, he turned it on. I don't know what his total yards was, but he was the difference maker in that game.
Yeah.
The bad and ugly are going to kind of combine here. The bad was the Auburn pass defense. The secondary, there is no rush. I mean, you name it on the Auburn defense, and that is the problem. So. The ugly, once again, we go to the defense, is Ellis Johnson. I think it's time.
You're calling him out.
I think it's time for Gus to get
pulling
rid
the six
of
shooters
Mr.
out.
Johnson. That's it. It's the time has come. It's time for new blood at Auburn.
Yeah, yeah.
Ellis Johnson, see you later. Let's bring in a real defensive coordinator. Hey, you
there
heard
you
it
go.
Here.
That's the good and the bad, the ugly
good,
at Auburn.
The bad,
huh?
And ugly at Auburn.
Well, let me give you the good, the bad, and the ugly for the Alabama Crimson Tide. The good we're going to say was Amari Cooper, especially early. Amari Cooper, he caught 9 passes for the game, scored 2 touchdowns, set an Alabama school record with 224
and
yards.
He scored a lot of points on fantasy football.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. So Amari Cooper would be my good, as well as the entire offensive team for the first quarter. The bad would be, you have to say it, but defensively, we weren't as good as maybe we had been the week prior. We gave up almost 400 yards of total offense. Passing gave up over 200, and rushing gave up over 180 yards. So that's not and that's against a very mediocre football team with a quarter freshman, true freshman quarterback who has not played, and he did a heck of a job. He was 19 out of 32 for 192 yards, two touchdowns and interception. So the bad, again, we had to say it, but defensively, that's my bad. The ugly was the fumble by Jostin Fowler as he was rumbling over a defensive back going into the end zone for a touchdown, which would have made it 41-20, and he fumbles on about the 1 yard line. So that is my ugly for the day.
Ronnie, how can Alabama look so good? I mean, offensively, it's kind of like shooting a basketball. I can see having off games offensively when the passes just aren't clicking, the timing's not there, blocking assignments maybe. How do you have an off game defensively?
I don't know.
And apparently Alabama does because they have looked so good at times defensively.
You know, and still, you know, you don't want to pile on them too much because they rank third nationally as far as giving up points. I don't think they give up about 13 or 14 points a game. So, you know, I mean, 13, 14 points a game is pretty impressive.
Yeah, but how does Tennessee put up 400 yards?
West Virginia,
what was it, 500 or 600
yards? That was terrible that game now. So I don't know.
I mean, you're playing Auburn defense when you're giving up 500 yards.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't know. They had times where they were, again, they were confused out there with their arms up, kind of turning around, and defensive backs were lost from time to time. But again, you know, they got up to such a big lead there early at 27-0. You know, did they lose their concentration? You know, did they lose their intensity? I don't know. You know, you can blame any of that mess you want to on how you play, but you know, it was a win. But you know, I don't know that it was. And you know, Saban gets mad when it's not. You're talking about not being an impressive win or a dominating win. You take a win any way you can get them. I got that.
Oh, yeah.
But it just seemed like part of the time we may have been a little bit confused on what we're doing. And offensively, there for a while, we run up down the field, you know, just like we're playing a high school team. And then we go for, you know, two and a half quarters, and we basically get very little, you know, to nothing done. So
I got a question, or actually it'd be a two-part question on Alabama. What has happened? Where is Derrick Henry? Back that we saw last year in the Oklahoma game looked like he was going to be the next Heisman Trophy winner at Alabama, and he has basically disappeared.
Yeah, he has. So, I mean, he's had a couple, I guess, or a few, you know, good games. He doesn't look like the same back. I mean, he looks really, really slow. He doesn't seem to have any elusiveness. Doesn't seem to be able to make cuts well. I don't know. He just doesn't look like the kid that I saw last year. And, you know, I've heard some people say, well, it's a sophomore slumps. And, you know, a lot of players, you know, that happens to him for whatever reason. But he just hasn't been near as impressive as what I had thought he would be.
And I had his name when I started asking this question. You were going to know it right off the bat, the tight end, the big tight end, Alabama.
He left me too.
His name, I know.
Number 88.
Yeah. But.
We'll think of it.
Yeah, I'll look it up here in just a second.
It's from Prattville.
Yeah. Where is he in action? Because he's basically seeing none.
None.
Because I've had him on fantasy football.
Yeah, he's not been able to do anything. And I'm not, you know, I'm not throwing off on him. I just don't think that apparently that the West Coast offense that Lane Kiffin runs and likes to run. Apparently, it does not focus on the use of a tight end very often. He just hasn't had many balls thrown his way. And I can't believe that he has not been
open. O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard.
I didn't even have to look it up when I started
to type it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, O.J. Howard. You know, you hear people say that guy is going to be an NFL player. But
he's not going to if he don't ever get the ball.
No, ability wise, you know, people are really high on him, but he's not getting many opportunities to catch many balls.
Lane Kiffin, did you see his armed guards as he went in
into Neyland Stadium there? Yeah,
Neyland.
Neyland.
I just don't like nailing stadiums.
Did you see him when they threw that first pass to Cooper and he you know, ran it for 80 yards for a touchdown? Did you see Kiffin running the whole length of the side?
No,
sideline.
I was at the Auburn game watching Mophead.
Yeah, he was sprinting the length of the sidelines toward the end zone. So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that there was a message behind that.
Oh yeah, you know he wanted to rub a little salt in that Tennessee wound.
Absolutely, but hey, for Alabama, you know, it was a win. There were some times where they looked really good, and there was times where they just, you know, basically like they were just going through the motions. Stats for Alabama game: they had 23 first downs. That's pretty impressive. They gave up 21. Total yards, they had 469, Tennessee 383. Passing, Alabama had 286, Tennessee 202. Rushing, 183 for Alabama, 181 yards for Tennessee rushing. Penalties, back to the, you know, the number of penalties again. They had 6 for 50 yards, and Tennessee had 4 for 33. Third down conversions were impressive for Alabama, 11 out of 15. And for Tennessee, it was 11 out of 19. Bama again turned the ball over twice. So did Tennessee. And time of possession, very, very close. Alabama had it for 29 minutes, 26 seconds. And Tennessee had it for 30 minutes and 34 seconds. So, you know, other than the score, you know, as far as you looking at the stats, you would think that was a darn close ball game.
At a loss for Alabama. I'm really at a loss for Auburn. Because you brought up the third down conversion rates. South Carolina, I don't know, I'm not sure. I don't remember them missing a fourth down conversion. They went for it 5 or 6 times on fourth and 12, fourth and 8.
He did it the whole game.
Yeah, and we're not, he's not doing it from the Auburn 35, 40 yard line. He's doing it from his 30 yard line.
I agree. I saw that.
If that don't tell Gus something about our defense.
Yeah.
And I think the only time, if that Hail Mary pass was fourth down, I think that's the only one they didn't make.
Didn't complete.
Because I don't remember missing it up. And which brings me to this, Ronnie. Did you see where Auburn had 2 number one players on the field at the end of the game?
No, I didn't see it, but I heard about it. There should have been a penalty and another play that they had 2 guys out there with the same number.
Duke Johnson had been put in to kind of play Rover. You know, he's the big stud receiver. They put him in to basically go wherever the ball was in the end zone.
Right.
Well, somebody forgot that we had another number one on the field, which should have been a penalty and allowed South Carolina to throw the ball up again.
And that's all they would have needed, you know, another opportunity to score, you know, because it was basically whoever, you know, whoever had it was scoring with it. So you're talking about Auburn's defense, Jason. They ranked 25th. Overall, as far as giving up points, they give up 20.7, almost 21 points a game.
25th.
They're 25th.
I would have thought 75th.
Yeah, you're right. But they are 25th in points. As far as scoring offense, they rank 15th. Rushing yards, they rank 10th at 281 yards a game. And passing, they rank 84th at 215 yards a game.
Now, 84th is getting more in the line, what I thought they would be.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But as far as points, they're giving up 20.7 points. So maybe they're not, you know, maybe they're not giving up as many points as they are yardage.
Right.
Which Alabama does the same thing.
The old bend but don't break.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
You know, you bend something enough, sometimes
it's going to break.
It's going to break.
At the worst time, that's right. Jason, just quickly, if you'd like for me to, the stat line for Auburn – in South Carolina, first downs, South Carolina had 30 first downs.
I don't doubt it a bit.
Auburn had 25 total yards. Wow.
They had 25 total yards, 25 first downs.
Auburn did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
South Carolina had 30.
Yeah. You scared me, though. You said Auburn had 25 total yards.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Total yardage, South Carolina, 536. Auburn, 551. Passing. South Carolina, 416 yards passing. Auburn, 100. It was basically reversed. Auburn had 156 rushing. South Carolina, 119. Auburn, 395. Fourth down conversions, as you were talking about a minute ago, they were 5 out of 6. Third down conversions, they were 6 out of 14. I get, in my opinion, just looking at stat line, the biggest play here is on the turnover column. South Carolina turned it over 3 times.
Yeah, and that was
Auburn turned
huge.
It over once. So not anything impressive on those
South
as far
Carolina
as defensive stats.
South Carolina was marching, going to score when they turned the ball over there, and that turned out to be the difference in the game.
Yes, it did. So, again, Auburn has a lot of work to do defensively.
And, again, I'm not sure what South Carolina is. I mean.
Yeah, that's just it. You don't
know.
You know
what Texas A&M done to them. But
that's right.
I don't know. It's a mixed-up year in the SEC.
You got it.
Ronnie, we got Cindy on the line. So, Cindy, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, hey, how great. Are you, Cindy?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Hey, I really enjoyed that interview with Jay.
Hey, he did
Thank
a great
you.
Job.
Yeah,
he
is a easy person to interview.
He is. And if you, I mean, I noticed he once said that he was lucky or they were lucky. He said they was blessed.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what really impressed me, because, I mean, you can tell just from talking or listening to him talk, he's a good Christian man.
Yeah. Seems like
My mother always says, you know, you're not lucky, you're blessed.
Right. There's really no such thing
there's
as
no
luck.
No such thing as luck. That's right.
That is true.
That
but
is
anyway, it. Did he play for Auburn in 1984?
Oh, you are close. You are real close.
Man.
Yeah, he mentioned the year, but it wasn't 1984. So.
Well, all right.
Hey, you've already got a good collection anyway,
yeah.
Cindy.
Well, I need another t-shirt. I want a cup.
You want a cup, yeah.
Hey, yeah.
Next time you come by to pick up moolah money, we'll give you a cup. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to ask, when can I play again? Does it go, like, 30 days?
Yeah,
or
30 days from the time you won. So
she's probably,
okay. That'll be
she'll probably start playing
November.
About next week.
Yeah, the 7th of November.
That'll be next
She's
week.
She's going to get it figured out.
That's when you're going to win the next one.
Yeah. I'm waiting on you to actually go hide it again. I love doing that.
Oh, we'll have to do that again.
Yeah, we'll do that again.
All right, guys.
All right, Cindy.
Y'all have a good
All right,
day.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
She's waiting to get back to hunt, isn't she?
She's always on it.
We're going to have to hide it.
Yeah, we'll hide it again. And we might hide it when it gets closer to Christmas time, so it'll be good and cold
good
out there
cold.
For everybody.
Somebody wants to really hunt it. Hey, we might can do a 100 spot at Christmas, you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll come up with it. We have to borrow it from the Bank of Barnes.
Boy, it'll be an IOU.
Hey, Ronnie, something else about Jay Jacobs. She's talking about being a good Christian man, or seemed like he was.
Yeah,
and we were talking about how easy he was to talk to. Something that impressed me, I mean, we told him our names, but did you notice how quickly he picked up on which voice was who?
He knew which one of us was which,
I mean, my mind just don't work that way.
No, mine doesn't either. But, I know she was calling me by name, but I didn't, I really didn't think about it. But you're right.
And I am the world's worst. If you walked up, it was the first time we met, and you walked up and said, "Hi, I'm Ronnie Barnes."
You'd
if
never
you
know
turn
it.
Around and ask me your name, I wouldn't know.
No, I'm the same way. I don't know if it's I don't listen or what it is. So. But it's just it's hard for me to remember.
Which I'm sure he wrote it down when he called it up, but he still didn't write the voice down.
No, he had to figure that out. So, again, he did a great job. Really enjoyed getting to talk with Jay Jacobs.
All right, 5:35, which means it's time for another break, and we're going to come back with another moolah clue. And before the day's over, we're going out in left field for a change.
All right.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Scissor Salon is your full-service salon, conveniently located on Highway 278 East in Coleman. Scissors welcomes men, women, and children. Appointments and walk-ins welcome. At Scissors, it's all about you. Personal service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Highway 278 East, Coleman. The little shop with the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, open Tuesday through Friday, 734-6006. That's Scissors. It's football season, and good vision is a must for the referee
and for the rest of us. For over 35 years, Dr. Wayne Fuller has been serving Coleman and the surrounding area. At Fuller Optical, we are more than happy to assist you with all of your vision needs. We're located in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church. We can be reached online at fulleroptical.com or 256-734-1121. 734-1121. If you like us on Facebook or mention our ad, you can get 10% off designer frames. That's Fuller Optical in the heart of downtown Coleman, just south of the Catholic Church.
I'm Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Coretti,
inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman.
This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio.
Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware.
If you're looking to make your building dream a reality, now is a great time to talk to your Morton Building Sales Consultant. Morton Buildings is a company that has been serving its customers for well over 100 years. From the first meeting with your sales consultant to the delivery and the construction, every aspect of the building process is handled by Morton. Morton Buildings constructs everything from hobby shops and suburban garages to farm storage buildings, even horse barns. With Morton, you get the building that you need and the quality and customer service the company is known for. You can make your dream come true. Available at Morton Buildings, 256-352-0406 in Garden City, or visit their website at mortonbuildings.com.
So, Sylvie, what's on your mind this week?
You mean Ebola, ISIS, immigration, separation of church and state in Houston? Shall I continue?
Yeah, you left out the Alabama Speaker of the House was just indicted on 23 felony corruption charges. You know, just another day at the office for them. And then there was that crazy stock market riot a week or so ago. I guess we're going to blame that on Ebola, right?
Well, the media certainly is.
Hey, these are some of the topics that we're going to bring to your attention on our new program, This Week Live, which will be debuting just before Americans go to the polls on November the 4th.
Perhaps for the last time ever.
Oh, please.
We'll cover all of Obama's faults, one at a time, like Obamacare, broken hard drives, IRS scandals, Fifth Amendments, Fast and Furious.
You know, Obama's just the president. He's not the entire government. I don't know why you people always want to blame everything on the president.
It's Bush's fault.
There's other people involved working in the government too, shall I say, Lois Lerner.
We'll get to all of those people too on This Week Live, and we'll start the discussion at 4 p.m. on November 3rd.
We'll cover all of this and more from the city of Coleman to Coleman County in the state of Alabama. And yes, what you should be aware of from the feds as well. So join us November the 3rd at 4 p.m. when we launch This Week Live right here on Coleman's Independent Radio. We are Live 95.
I'm afraid of Americans. I'm afraid of the world.
All right, the sound of money, money, money.
Little OJ's.
Yeah, means it's time for People's Bank. Where's Moolah? And Ronnie has hidden Moolah in a place that I'm really not familiar with, so it's going to be tough on people.
Yeah, Jason's going to have to do a little work when he gets home, a little research, come up with his own clues, so I've got another clue. I think the first clue I gave was the sum of the highway. It was 9, I believe. The second clue is as you're looking for moolah, if you go too far, you will drop off the mountain.
If you go too far, you will drop off the mountain. So, Hey, there are a lot of mountains around.
Yeah, it's a lot of places it could be.
I guess the next thing would be what you consider a mountain and what you consider a hill. So,
this is a mountain.
This is a mountain.
That's right. It's not right. A hill.
So there you go, folks. There's the last clue of the day.
Clue number two.
People's Bank. Where's Moolah? You got two clues. Had one winner already today.
That's right. Right off the bat. I mean,
called in from the clues we gave.
Yeah.
Thursday and took Moolah for $50.
Yeah, she was on deck when we fired the show off this morning.
Yeah, she was waiting on
us. Right. She had her bat in hand. She was ready to get to the plate.
All right, something we hadn't done in a long time.
Long time.
We're gonna fire up a little bit of out in left field.
That's right.
Yeah, this will be in honor of the committee meeting tonight.
of the committee meeting. That's it. So we have not been out in left field in a long time, and it's news that, as we said, you won't get just anywhere.
No, you're not going to hear it on Fox News. And
no.
Odds are you won't hear it on 3340.
No, you won't. I can almost guarantee you that.
The music will lead us right up to news time.
We get a little crazy. No, we're never gonna survive unless we are a little crazy. Wild eyed, crazy Mary.
Been a while.
Been a long time since we've heard that music.
I'm telling you, and the stories just keep coming. At least now we've got a few stories to report. We may save a few of them.
That's right. But hey, it's been a while since we've been out in left field. But the crazies, they're amongst us.
That's right.
Everywhere we turn.
And for those of you who are politically correct,
yes,
turn your dial off for right now. Come back in 2 or 3 minutes.
That's right, because we are politically incorrect here.
That's right. Hey, Ryan, I want to report to you first. From Harris County, Texas.
Oh, we're not in Florida.
No, not in Florida.
In Florida either on mine.
Hey, something's going on.
What about that?
So we'll need to check into this.
Wow, we just didn't look hard enough.
The headline reads, Texas cop Patrick Quinn offered to let suspect go if he could sniff her feet. Now, you know, when I was reading that, your eyes were getting kind of big. You were thinking maybe
I didn't know
else.
Where you were going with that.
But authorities in Harris County, Texas are raising a stink over a school police officer who allegedly offered to let a suspect off the hook if she would let him sniff her feet.
Hey, that reminds, is that Rex Ryan?
Yeah, I remember that.
There is Rex Ryan, you know, the head coach of the Jets, at least for this week. You know, he went through that same thing. So, hey, they may have already fired him, and he's got another job. That's Rex Ryan. Maybe his brother.
Hey, apparently this police officer had a keen sniffer, we'll say, because Quinn told the woman he smelled marijuana in her car, and he was not even in the car, around the car, when he pulled her over. So she denied that claim. He conducted a search of the vehicle. While she waited in the patrol car, Quinn allegedly told the woman he found a marijuana grinder in her car, but she denied having any knowledge of it.
A what?
A marijuana grinder.
What's that?
I have no earthly
idea.
Is that
like a pepper, you know, black pepper grinder at every restaurant,
yeah.
You know?
So the officer then allegedly told the woman that he was a foot fetish and offered to let her go if she would let him sniff her feet. And also told her that he wanted to lick her feet.
Oh,
so,
my
hey,
gosh.
There is.
She should have took that gun. She should have, well.
You know, ma'am, I, you know why I pulled you over? I thought I caught a whiff of your feet when you went by. But, you know, that there's some strange people.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know the
and
thing
that
about it.
And carrying a gun.
That's right. And there's somebody listening to us right now that's thinking, you that's know what's so strange
about
that?
That? I do that. I do that every day. Oh, man.
Hey, I tell you this.
I pass on that.
Yeah, if you really got a foot fetish and like to smell feet.
Yeah. We can solve that problem. Yeah,
we got four up here.
We can cure that for you real quick.
We'll break you from that.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. And this was in, where was this again?
Harris County, Texas.
In Texas.
Yeah, so if you're going through Texas, make sure to wear
don't
a clean
go,
sock.
Don't go, yeah, go avoid Harris County, if at all possible. Oh, my goodness. Hey, I got one for you here. Are you through with that one?
I'm through with it.
I got one here for you. I'm not going to give you the title of it. I'm just going to read it. Delaware man Andrew Walls, who's 32, is suing after he woke up from a colonoscopy to find himself wearing a pair of pink panties. The prank took place at the Delaware Surgery Center where Walls was an employee. He suspects his coworkers are responsible for the prank. Well, I guess so. Walls, who has sued, has a civil lawsuit, said when he recovered from the effects of the anesthesia administered by defendants, he awoke to realize that while he was unconscious, pink women's underwear had been placed on his body. When the plaintiff initially presented for his colonoscopy, he was not wearing pink women's underwear. Well, you hope he wasn't.
Yeah, yeah.
And at no time did the plaintiff voluntarily, knowingly, or intentionally place the pink panty underwear upon himself. He claims that his coworkers failed to maintain proper policies and procedures for the care of a patient with respect to not engaging in extreme and outrageous conduct.
Hey, Ronnie, you know, and the thing about it, he said he wouldn't have said anything about the pink panties, but when he woke up,
yeah,
that he looked over and the doctor was smoking a cigarette.
And a Salem light. Oh, you know, that has to be bad enough just going in to have a colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but then to wake up, you're drowsy, you know, and to wake up and look and you got on
pink panties. Panties. And there's something wrong. That's worth a lawsuit.
That's worth a lawsuit. Even though it is funny because he worked at this place.
Now, can you imagine his friends being the one that pulled that on him? I mean, that would be something like me or you.
Oh, I was going to say, if I was...
And then you turn around and sue me for that.
If you came in and I was going to give you a colonoscopy, if I was a surgeon...
I know you would,
a surgeon,
because the shirt you give me up at Grumpy's.
That's right. Give you that little
challenge.
Small Alabama shirt. That what Karen's put on.
Wow.
So be careful if you're in Delaware. At the Delaware Surgery Center. If you know somebody there, go have your colonoscopy done somewhere else, or you might be wearing pink panties. My question is, this guy's only 32 years old. Must be something wrong.
Yeah.
You're not 32 and have a colonoscopy done.
No, not unless.
Not unless,
there's something wrong.
There's something wrong.
That brings me to another story. This is out in left field, but it's not an actual news story.
I got
story.
You. Okay.
And I'm going to have to change a word or two in the story, but this is a true story that happened. So you can take it
for what it's
worth. And you would have to know the people to appreciate the story.
Got
but you. It was actually an employee of mine that his uncle had got in his mid to late 70s, had never been hospitalized, but just lived out in the country. I mean, mm-hmm. You know, just a plain old country boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So he gets put in the hospital, and they are going to have to do an enema on him. Mm. So they ask him, said, Mr. So-and-so, if you can, will you get up on your elbows and knees? And so the gentleman done that, and so they proceeded with the procedure there. And said when they started, he started kind of crawling down to the end of the table, bumped his head on the wall, knocked his glasses down on the end of his nose, said, hey, he said, watch it, said, he nearly stuck that up my tail. So, out in left field, it happens everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, gosh.
And I guess if I'd have been the doctor, I'd still be laughing today.
Yeah, I'm sure he is when he thinks about it. Oh,
all right, that's out in left field. Unless you've got another news story you want to bring us.
That's it. Just be wary if you're in Delaware and you need a colonoscopy.
That sounds like a great time for a break.
We'll be right back with a little sports news.
There you go.
You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman Tuesday edition.
Tommy Warhurst.
And I'm Jason Coretti,
inviting you to join us this Friday night for Friday Night Live.
Friday Night Live will showcase Coleman County's best high school football.
This week, it's senior night for the Coleman Bearcats as they host the Russellville Golden Tigers.
Airtime is 6:40 this Friday night on Live 95.
Listen live locally on Live 95 or from anywhere in the world on our Live 95 stream at live95coleman.com.
Or download the TuneIn Radio app. Search for Live 95.5 Coleman and listen on your smartphone.
Russellville at Coleman. This week on Friday Night Live, here on Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. Friday Night Live is brought to you in part by Farmers Insurance, the Warhurst Agency, Cyber Broadband, Good Hope Pharmacy, Morton Buildings, AK Rentals, Odin's Auto Glass, Scissors Salon, Fuller Optical, Alpha Agent Cynthia Phillips, Specialty Pharmacy, Joe Coretti Auto Service, and 157 Hardware.
Cyber Broadband has been providing broadband to areas generally not served by other providers. Now in its 10th year of providing service, Cyber has expanded to also offer services through Charter Communications. If you have service locally and would rather deal with a local company, Cyber Broadband can be reached at 256-734-1077. Cyber also has server co-location abilities. Visit them online at www.getcyber.net.
Michael's Flowers and Design in Coleman is your one-stop flower shop for any occasion, now carrying fine wine and craft beer. Michael's Flowers and Design is located in downtown Coleman next to Berkeley Bob's Coffee House, now also hosting special events and wine tasting. Our beautiful store is located at 302 First Avenue Southeast. We can be reached at 256-841-5553 or online at michaelsflowersanddesign.com.
I'm Tommy Warhurst, your farmer's insurance agent. Protecting what you value most is my job, and I take it very seriously. Is your automobile liability enough to protect all that you've worked for? Does your homeowner's policy carry replacement cost coverage on contents? Or if something happens to you or your spouse, could you stay in your current home? I can help you answer these questions and more at 338-3701 or thewarhurstagency.com. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your Farmers Insurance Agent.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
.55 running.
Winding it down here on Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesday edition about gone, and it's getting dark outside. It won't be long till the time will be changing.
Matter of fact, time changes Saturday night.
Oh, is it Saturday night?
Yes,
I knew it wouldn't be long. So
yeah, how smart you
I'm
are.
On top
you
of it. Top of
hey, I tell you what, you're masterful.
Okay, folks, reminder, if you want to listen to the Jay Jacobs interview, it'll be available on demand tonight at some point, whenever Jay can get it uploaded.
Yeah.
And That'll be worth a listen this weekend. Auburn, Ole Miss, Alabama fans, you got to pull for Auburn.
Absolutely. War Eagle, how about that?
Hey, whoa.
What about that?
I'm going to write that
careful
one down.
Now, careful.
So, yeah.
Hey, is that a, that's a 6 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 o'clock kickoff.
I do believe that's on tape.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, we will use
we'll
that.
We'll be playing that back some other day.
Hey, I'll say that again next Tuesday, too, if Auburn wins Saturday.
Yeah, and believe it or not, I don't know if I can actually get the RT word out, but when Alabama, if Auburn plays out and wins, yeah. And when Alabama plays.
Who does Alabama, who do you need Alabama to beat? I mean, who do you need?
Alabama needs to beat Mississippi State.
Okay. For you.
So, yeah, that week,
okay.
I will be an Alabama fan.
All right. I gave you a War Eagle, so you'll have to do it.
I might say the RT word. I don't know. So it will be tough.
Yeah, that's right. So that's 6 o'clock Saturday on ESPN.
Right. Yeah. And trying to think if there's anything else for Saturday. Don't know of anything. Alabama off.
Yep.
High school games Friday night.
Yep. And it'll be playoffs. You know, the week after.
That's right. It's starting.
That's right.
You got any idea of how many teams we got in the Coleman area?
No, not specifically. We know Cold Springs. We know Vimont. Possibly.
West Point.
We know West Point. Possibly Good Hope.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Possibly. I'm not sure.
We know Holly Pond.
Holly Pond, Hansville, Coleman.
Are all
Fairview
out.
Are out. So the others, the ones we mentioned there are probably
real in. Quick, you mentioned Fairview. What yeah. about the Fairview Stadium.
Yeah.
Wow. All I can say.
Yes.
Anybody seen the Coleman?
Yes. Match? It was in the paper. Dr. Ross had a meeting last week at the school auditorium. It was packed where they were discussing the situation with their football stadium. And if you did not happen to see the paper, the estimated cost to repair that, get it up to code as it needs to be, was $2.7 million. And as I told you earlier, just to do the bleachers alone is $1 million.
That is unbelievable.
So,
you know, I don't do that kind of work, but just
yeah.
when you go to a ball field here in Coleman,
yeah.
not take Coleman out of it because Coleman's a whole
sure.
different league than
sure.
the other stadiums, but you look at that stadium and you would think for $1 million you could rebuild the whole
thing. Oh, I know. That's right.
I mean, you're basically moving mm-hmm. some dirt.
Yeah. And that
I don't
was
see $1 million.
I don't know. That was an estimate. So who knows? Two seven. There's probably going to be more than that. Probably probably $3 million when it's all said and done, or more. I guess. I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So I don't know what the plans are. I don't know how they're going to try to fund that. But they're going to have some help.
Hey, they will have to do more than sell Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, you got you got that right out at the four-way stop.
Yeah.
You're going to have to sell a lot of Boston butts.
Is there anything worse than those traffic stops, four-way stops?
You don't see them like you used to, but you do. They still do. Oh, you know, they're still there.
If you get over toward Rainbow Crossing,
yeah.
Sneed,
yeah.
they are constantly there.
I know. And I know. Selling.
I'd just soon have a toothache because I had to go through one of those. So.
They're just selling donuts or taking it for the rescue squad.
Yeah, that's it. All right. The music means it's time to call it a day.
Another dollar.
Appreciate Jay Jacobs taking the time to visit us today. And running until Thursday.
Yeah.
In honor of Jay Jacobs, a big War Eagle.
And I've already done my War Eagle, so I'm going to end it with a big Roll Tide.
Folks, we'll see you Thursday for the Thursday edition of Sports Talk Live 95.5 Coleman.
when I look. No sign but the sound of his feet. She comes ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? I stand here on the edge of the seat. Out the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat. Yeah, 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 yeah. See it. Thank you. Good again. Hey, and another one come, and another one come. Another one bites the dust.
Listening to Live 95 WRJM LP Coleman.